Our text for this morning, the Gospel of John. Let me remind the parents as well that if you've got a child that needs to be baptized, there is going to be a baptism next Sunday, the 8th in the morning service. And so if you've got a child that needs to be baptized, please let myself know or Pastor White so that we can get around to talk with them, make sure they're ready for baptism. We want to make sure they understand and comprehend what baptism is and what it represents and that it does not save, and also making sure their comprehension of baptism is sound. Amen. So parents, if you do have children like that, please let me know, and we'll get to baptizing them next Sunday. The Gospel of John, and we're going to be in two areas here, John chapter 8 and John chapter 14. Of course, you know we've been talking about standing and standing for the Lord. The Bible says in Ephesians, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil." And so that's what we're looking at this morning, making sure that you and I can stand for the Lord. The Gospel of John chapter 14 is the area that we kind of launched out from, dealing with our stand for Jesus Christ. Let's start with that one first. John chapter 14, and we are reading verse number 6. And I want you to read that one with me together, John chapter 14 and verse 6. All together, here we go. "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And we've been looking at what type of life do we actually have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, we saw that we have perpetual life or everlasting life or eternal life. And therefore, you and I can stand for and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now flip over, if you would, to John chapter number 8. We have perpetual life, and that's eternal and everlasting. John chapter number 8, and I want you to read with me verse number 12. Notice what Jesus says here altogether. "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." So not only do we have this perpetual life or eternal life or everlasting life, we also have power to see in this life. Jesus said, "I am the light of this life." Amen. And so as you and I continue to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, we're standing with the power to see, because Jesus said, "I am the light of life for this world." And I'm so glad that he is the light of life, and you and I can have that light and show it to a world. By the way, we're called Shining Light Baptist Church, and so it behooves us to be able to shine. And so we're into our stand for the Savior. This is the second month we're talking about standing for the Savior. Notice our theme: be able to stand, be able to withstand. Having done all to stand therefore, and we're talking about being able to stand for our Lord Jesus Christ and stand in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You say, "Preacher, how can we stand and why should we stand?" We looked at that last month. We are complete in him, the Bible says. And so we can stand because we're complete in him. And he wants us to stand with the eternal life that we have, but also with this light of life that we have. Father, bless now the next moments that we have together. Lord, as we look at our stand for Jesus Christ, help us to be able to stand in him, because we are complete in him. We've been furnished in him and fulfilled in him and made full in him. We have the life that he wants us to have in him. Everything begins with life, Lord. You said you are the way, the truth, and the life. And so you're worth standing for. And help us to more importantly, be able to stand when no one else stands. To stand in places where it seems like it's not possible to stand. To stand in the truths of the Word of God, Lord, and shining the light of Jesus Christ to all that will see. Lord, we're in a battle. We're understanding that. And we don't stand in our own power. We stand complete in the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because we're complete in you. Now help us, Lord, to stand, and not only stand, but withstand in the Lord, ready for battle. Lord, as we examine this area today about being light or having the light that others can see in life. Help us to shine brighter and brighter for Jesus. Lord, that others may see the glory of God. Lord, use me this morning as your messenger. Help me to preach, thus saith the Lord. Holy Spirit, walk the aisles this morning. Lord, whatever position that we are in, may you take charge and take liberty of that heart and that soul. Bring us to decisions that we need to make. Lord, all of us are from different walks of life. All of us are from different backgrounds. All of us have different agendas today, but Lord, for the next moments, may our agenda be Christ. May what we think, say, and do be Christ. May we be arrested in these moments that, Lord Jesus, you may speak to us through your word. And Lord, when we leave here, may we leave differently than when we came in, saying, I'm more enlightened about my Savior. I'm more reminded about what I need to do for my Savior, and I am ready to stand for and in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given to us by way of salvation. If there's one today without Christ, press upon the heart of that man, woman, boy, or girl, their great need to be born again. I thank you for loving us, Lord. Meet our need now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Mrs. Dawson has our special this morning.
Just how much I need you, Lord. to you. Lord, I'm crying out to you. Yes, I'm crying out to you.
Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Dawson, for that special, amen, crying out to you. By the way, we all should be crying out to the Lord on a continual and a regular basis when we see our great need for Him and His help that He wants to provide to you and for me. Well, continuing in our Stand for the Savior series, we saw before that we have a perpetual state in this life, and so we will never die. We have everlasting life and eternal life. And you say, well, preacher, we might die physically, amen, but this does not make us up, amen. What makes us up is on the inside, amen. And I'm so glad that we have a glorified body waiting for us, and so we can stand for Jesus, because no matter what happens, the worst someone can do is end this life and enter us into the perpetual life or the eternal life or the everlasting life that we have. And in John's gospel, life is a key theme. He uses the word life 38 times in his gospel. And I think it's very important that you and I get a hold of how important this life really is. Amen. The one that we live on earth is temporary. It's going to fade away. But it is in preparation for the one that is to come. And what a blessing it is. And so we have been investigating why you and I can stand, because God would have us to stand. We've had this guy up here all year long just to remind us that we've got to put on the whole armor of God to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? He's the tricky adversary, and he will hit us in places that we didn't think about. That's why God says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, what did he say? Stand therefore. And so we've been looking at how we can stand for Jesus, and we can stand in Jesus, not just because of the perpetual state of the life that we have, but also today we're going to look at we have the power to see in this life. You know, there is no way for us to make mistakes in this life. We really shouldn't. Do we? Yes, we do. But we don't have any excuses, biblically speaking, because God says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. So we follow the truth of the Word of God. We're not going to make mistakes. So let's humbly say that we make mistakes because we don't follow the Word of God. Amen. And we'll be one step closer to not being convicted tonight when we talk about what pride does. Amen. Because we have to be honest. If we're walking in the light as He is in the light, we're not going to sin. Somebody say amen. We're not. And there's a situation here that's coming up that Jesus is going to talk about him being the light of the world. And he says, he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And so John not only talks about eternal life, perpetual life, or everlasting life, but the power to see in this life. John also uses the word light 16 times in his gospel. 16 times. And let me give you the context here. Today is just going to be pretty much an introduction to what we're going to be talking about over the next week or so in dealing with the light of life. But take it back up to verse number 1. Why did Jesus make this statement here in verse number 12? Well, most of us know the story about the woman caught in adultery or taken in adultery, the adulterous woman. Most of us know that story. And so let's recap that to find out why Jesus said what he said in verse number 12. Notice in verses 1, 2, and 3, we find that there's a setup trying to take place here. Verse 1, Jesus went out to the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribe, by the way, that's important. When you go to church, you should be taught.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, I know a lot of places you go, you're not taught. You're going to be entertained. Your ears will be tickled. You will be made to feel good. May I assert you, I am not here to make you feel bad, but neither am I here to make you feel good. You get feeling good when you get right with God. Amen. So my intent is not to make you feel bad, but it's not to make you feel good. It's to make you get right with God. Amen. As the folks say, oh, preacher, make me feel good. No, that's not my job. My job is to preach the Bible. And so he taught them, he says there. Verse number 3, and the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. There is the setup. And when they had set her in the midst, we find the next part, verse number 4, the story, not just the setup, but the story, because the Pharisees pretty much said, we'll show him who's boss. We'll show him that this grace business is for the birds. We'll show him that this forgiving business is for the birds. We want some law here. We want people to walk by the law. We're tired of this fuddy-duddy business of Jesus saying, forgive and forgive and forget, and all this grace foolishness. We're tired of that. The law is at stake here. Moses is at stake here. And so they try to set him up. And they give him this story. Verse 4. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now, right off the bat, you find something fishy about this story. If this woman was caught in adultery in the act, then there should be a second party. How can you possibly catch somebody in the act and only bring half of the act? Amen. That's like Laura without Hardy. That's like Tom without Jerry. Amen. That's like a Roadrunner without the coyote. You got to have both. Amen. They go together. But they've got one. And so you know there's a setup. You know there's a story here. It takes two. But then in verses 5 and 6, we find the strategy they're trying. They really don't want to care anything about this girl or what's going on with her. They just want to prove a point to Jesus. Is it law? Or is it liberty? What is it, Jesus? Notice what he says down in verse 5 and 6. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. No, the law says bring both of them. Yeah. But what sayest thou? This, they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. The strategy. The law versus liberty. What's Jesus going to do? And Jesus didn't even give him eye contact. He didn't look at them and he didn't look at her. And you know, sometimes you think when people can't look you in the eye, aha, got them on the ropes. Got them intimidated. Can't even look at me. They got to find something else to do. And you can just see them with their smug faces. What you going to do about that? Is it law or is it liberty? Is it Moses or is it Messiah? Are you right or are you wrong? What you going to do, Jesus? What you going to do? Can't you look at us? And Jesus is writing in the ground. Aren't you interested to know what he was writing? Uh-huh. Maybe he was writing, you wicked. No, I'm sorry. He wasn't writing that. Amen. So where is the man? Amen. We don't know. But whatever he wrote, I'm sure they were trying to take a peek at what he was writing. But he didn't give my contact. And so their strategy was to put Moses against Messiah or law against liberty. And this tragedy didn't work. We see the sentence, verse 7. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. There's the sentence. He said, all right, the first one that doesn't have any sin. Go ahead, belt her. Go for it. And again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. He just stood up long enough to put the sentence out there. Okay, you guys want a sentence? You guys want what it says? Then you must be sin-free. Yeah. Now, which one is it? Go ahead. Pick a shot. You? Maybe you? He just went right back down the writing. Finished that sentence off. Where is the man? Amen.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
The strategy, law versus liberty, Moses versus Messiah, the sentence. Divine genius satisfied law and liberty. Divine genius. Now you and I would be dumbfounded with that situation.
Yeah.
I'm so glad it's in the Bible.
Amen.
So that we can see what Jesus says and we can kind of say something similar to that. Amen. People get on your nerves. He without sin, cast the first stone.
Yeah.
Hey, he without sin, you called a shot. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we're not Jesus. And so notice what happens down there. We see the silence, verse 9. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience. They knew they were not without sin. And they knew they were wrong for bringing only half of the situation. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest.
Say, why beginning at the elder? He probably had the most sin. The older you are, the most sin you got, amen, oftentimes. That's just the way it goes, amen. Not always, but sometimes that is the case. Even unto the last. So from the eldest to the last, they began to leave one by one. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And so we see the silence that came because they all knew that they could not pick up a stone and cast it at her. And so the law had to be thwarted at this point. Because who's going to carry out the sentence? Is Jesus going to stone her? Of course, they wanted the luxury of not so much stoning her, but making Jesus look bad.
Yes, sir, he did. They did, Pastor.
Then we see in verses 10 and 11, the sinner. When Jesus had lifted up himself, he finally came back up and saw none but the woman. He said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Of course, Jesus knows the answer. And of course, Jesus knows the sinful heart of the men that were there.
Yes, sir, he does.
And she said, no man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So divine grace set in to satisfy the law and to satisfy liberty. He said, I don't condemn you either. Did he have the right to condemn her? Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. Yep.
But did he condemn her? No. He says, you know what? You're guilty. But grace. Mercy, there was grace. Great grace was free. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Jesus looking ahead to the cross that he would bear her sins on the tree. Hey, I don't condemn you. You're already a condemned sinner like everybody else. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. But I'm going to the cross and I'm going to pay for that. And I've got grace and it's free. I've got liberty when there is law. I've got mercy when there is murder at your heart. Jesus says, I don't condemn you either. And so he says, I'll give you grace. I know you're guilty, caught in the act, but there's some grace here. Then notice verse number 12, and we find not just the sinner and the silence, the sentence, the strategy, the story, the setup, but the surety. Then spake Jesus again unto them. So the crowd that did not leave, the crowd that's sticking there, the crowd that we find back in verse number one, that verse number two, that was sitting down and ready to be taught, that crowd, then Jesus turns to them and saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In other words, he says, this young lady, I was caught in the very act. They tried to condemn her, but I'm having mercy on her and I'm going to give her the light of life and she is going to follow me and she will be a light, and everyone else that follows me will be a light and have the light of life. So Jesus gave her this formula along with everybody else that was there. The record continues on, but we're going to stop it right there. Because after confounding the Jewish leaders who tried to trick and trap Jesus, he puts them to shame. He then directs the adulterous woman in a new way of life with light to repel the darkness by following him. I want to replace your darkness with the light of life. And if you follow me, if you're my disciple, if you're born again, if you walk in my light, amen, you won't be in this predicament ever again. Ever again. I submit to you today that Jesus gives us the power to see in this life. Nevermore would this lady have to worry about that if she's following the Lord Jesus Christ. Nevermore does she have to worry about being caught in the act of infidelity. Nevermore does she have to worry about these things if she's walking in his light. And I guarantee you, you and I don't have the problem either if we walk in his light. Amen. Why? He is the light of life. And so not only do we have perpetual life, we have power to see in this life. There's no way that you and I should stumble about in this life wondering what's right, wondering what's wrong when we're following Jesus. Right. Amen. Amen. Say, well, I wonder if this is right. I wonder if that is wrong. I wonder if I should do this. Well, if you're saved, ask the Spirit of God who is in you. I'm sure he will tell you. Amen. And I like this. When in doubt, leave it out. Yes, sir. Preacher, I don't know if I should do that. When in doubt, leave it out. Well, I think I'm allowed to do it. Well, you may be not allowed to do it. And by the way, not trying to yoke you in a law either, but the Spirit of God gives you liberty. And we are free to do everything that we want to do? No, under the confines of the Word of God. Folks say, well, I've got law, but you've got liberty, and I'm strengthened because I can only do this. You've got liberty. You can do everything. No, that means I've got a license to do right in the sight of God.
Amen.
Amen. Just because I've got liberty doesn't mean I can do whatever. Hey, I've got a driver's license. That doesn't mean I can break the speed limit. Amen.
Amen. Amen,
Pastor. All right.
Amen.
I got a gun. That doesn't mean I can shoot somebody. Amen.
Amen.
Now, I don't have one, but I'm just using that as an example.
Amen, Pastor.
I did shoot one in Missouri, though. Several. I felt like I was a cowboy. Felt like I was on a SWAT team. Didn't know what I was doing, amen. But it felt good just shooting a gun. And they said, pull! Pow! Missed that one. Pow! Somebody throw a rock at that so I can hit it. Pull! Pow! I finally got one. I thought, man, that felt good. Let me stop while I'm ahead. Amen. Put that down. What am I saying? We have liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's not a license to sin. I marvel when people say, well, you got a license to sin. No. Well, you can go out and kill somebody, and you mean tell me you're still going to heaven? Well, I'm saved. I should want to go out and kill somebody. But if I do by mistake have an accident, and guess what? There's still grace. There's still mercy. Oh, well, you believe that once saved, always saved. Well, that's what everlasting means. That's what eternal means. That's why I have perpetual life. It will never cease. It will never end. I may just change bodies, amen. But guess what? It's not going to cease. And I'm going to have perpetual life. I have power to see in this life. First of all, I want you to consider Jesus is light for this life. We're going to consider two thoughts. He is light for life, and then he left us as light in this life. But first of all, Jesus is light for this life. We're not going to finish this morning, but I do want to break ground on it. Just letting you know, Jesus led up to this story and said, you know what? I am the light of the world. He. This is one of the seven I ams. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. He had seven I ams in this one. He said, I am the light of the world. And we're going to just talk a little bit about this light that he has, this light for life, this light that you and I need. By the way, without the spiritual light of Jesus, there is no spiritual life. Amen.
Amen.
Say that again. Without spiritual light of Jesus, there is no spiritual life in Jesus. You and I have to be awakened from our darkness. Well, preacher, I'm not dark. Oh, if you could only see your soul. Oh, if you could only have your thoughts pictured up there, what you thought yesterday, what you thought last week, what you thought last year, when you thought just when that person cut you off coming to church this morning. So much road rage going on now. Folks are shooting people on the road. Dark hearts, wicked hearts. People flipping up fingers and doing all sorts of things. Darkness. Without physical light, there is no life either. Amen. By the way, not a whole lot of things grow in the darkness other than mushrooms and a few select things. Amen. Jesus stated in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. The word light there means to shine or make manifest, to illuminate or to be luminous. One of the first things God created in Genesis was what? You guessed it, light. Let there be light. Go back to Genesis real quick with me. And I want you to see something here, because even way back in Genesis, God put a separation between light and darkness. Genesis chapter number 1, and notice down there in verse 3, you don't have to go far. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's verse 1. Verse 3, and God said, let there be what? Light. And there was what? Light. And God saw the what? Light. That it was good. And God divided the light from the what? Darkness. Even back then, darkness and light didn't get together. Hey, when light came in, darkness went out. And when darkness came in, light went out. It's just a fact of the matter. When light stops, darkness comes. God separated them even way back then. He said, I am the light of the world. Why? Men are in darkness.
Yep.
By the way, may I submit that you and I were in darkness too. Preacher, but we look good. And you do. Our preacher, we're suave. And you are. And we're debonair. And you are. And we're smart. And you are. We're intellectual. And you are. But you were in darkness. You were.
Mm-hmm.
Preacher, no. Preacher, yes. Way back, God separated them. Notice verse 5, and God called the light day and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. So even way back then, God saw the light that it was good, but he divided the light from the darkness. Those two did not coexist. One of the first things God created in Genesis was light, not so that he could see, but so that we could see. Think about it. God doesn't need to see. He knows everything. He's omnipotent. He sees everything. He can see in the dark, but you and I cannot see in the dark. Neither can we see spiritual things with a darkened heart. You know what's the best secret for a darkened heart? The Word of God. Your intellectual wisdom and my intellectual wisdom and my arguments and your arguments aren't going to get people anywhere. They need the light of the Word of God. They need the light of life. They need to be introduced to Jesus. Hey, what got that adulterous woman right with God? What got those Pharisees out there taking a hightail out of there? The Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, he said, he who was without sin cast the first stone, divine judgment, and no one was exempt. They all had to leave. The best confrontation of darkness is the Word of God and the Son of God, who is the light of life. Webster defines light as something that makes vision possible. Close your eyes. Tell me what you see. Now, if I close mine for too long, I'm going to fall off this platform. But if you close your eyes, what do you see? You don't see a thing. You see shades of darkness. Some shades, if you squeeze them real tight, you may see other shades. But close your eyes real tight. Put your hand in front of you. How many fingers are you holding up? How many fingers am I holding up? I'm not holding up any fingers. It's a thumb. See there? You can open them up. Amen. What am I saying? Darkness. When you're in darkness, you can't see anything. We can stand for Jesus because he gives us the light for life. By the way, we need physical light to see physically in life, but we need spiritual light to see spiritually in life. And so God, way in the beginning, said, let there be light so that we could see both physically and then see spiritually. Jesus is the light of life for us to see. Consider this, Jesus is light for the darkness of this light. Yes. Have you even noticed how when you are full of the Spirit of God, people that are not spiritual want to get away from you? And they're not right with God, and they know they're not right with God. They don't want to be around you because they're in darkness. Mm-hmm. But it amazes me, the ones that are really seeking, the ones that are really searching for God could care less. They want to be around you. I remember Rod Branch, the guy that witnessed to me before I got saved. I knew he was different from me. I knew he had something that I didn't have. I knew he was introduced to a greater power than I had, and that attracted me to him. Why? I sincerely wanted to know. Amen. I understood that there's something about me that is different from him, and what he has is illuminating. It's luminous. It's shining. It's manifesting. And whilst his life makes my life shameful, it wasn't his life. It was the words that he spoke to me out of the Word of God. Now, his life was convicting because he didn't do the things that I did. He didn't speak the way I spoke. He didn't go the places I went. Matter of fact, I had never seen him a day in my life until my wife introduced me to him. Amen. Why? We hung out in different circles. When he came out in the light, I came out in the dark. That was my life. I was in darkness. And so whilst he was in church, I was at home with a hangover. We had two total different worlds.
Yes, we did.
Jesus is light for the darkness of this light. In the beginning of John's gospel, he makes a contrast between light and darkness. Go back there with me. You see here in Genesis, God made a difference. John's gospel makes a difference as well. John chapter 1. What am I talking about here? Jesus is light for this life, and Jesus is light for the darkness of this life. John's gospel, in the beginning, he makes this contrast. By the way, darkness is the ignorance that sin brings. Light is the illumination that salvation brings. Chapter number 1. By the way, many don't know how bad sin is because they are in darkness. Now, I was a drunkard and I drank. The only way I knew how bad the alcohol was destroying me was because my mother was a registered nurse and she told me that my liver was being eaten up. And I saw things on television. Other than that, I didn't think it was that bad. Hey, it's my life. Let me live my own life. Let me do what I want to do. Hey, if I want to drink, I want to drink. If I want to do drugs, I want to do drugs. If I want to do it, let me do it. You know why? I was in darkness.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
I was in darkness.
Yes, sir.
My body was not my body to control. God gave me the body along with the spirit that he wanted to redeem. Amen. And you and I are foolish to think that we can do with our bodies what we want to do with our bodies. We're foolish to think we can put in our bodies what we want to put in our bodies. We're foolish. And I was darkened. I was darkened. Many don't see how bad sin is because they're in darkness and can't see the devastation and the darkness sin can bring. The Pharisees could see the adulterous woman's darkness, but they could not see their own until the light of Jesus exposed them. Jesus is light for the darkness of this life. That's why he said in John 8:12, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. But in chapter 1, verse number 4, John said basically the same thing. Matter of fact, go to verse number 1. So you know who we're talking about. In the beginning was the what? Word. Should be capital W. That's Jesus. And the word was with who? God. And the word was who? God. The same was in the beginning with God. And to bring it close, notice verse 14. And the W, capital W-O-R-D, was made what? Flesh and dwelt among us. Who is that? That's Jesus. And John said, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And my friend, when you behold the Lord Jesus Christ in his grace and in his truth, my friend, your darkness will become a little bit more illuminated when you see his glory and your wickedness. What broke me down? Seeing God in his full blown glory. He said, preacher, you can't see him and live. I saw just enough. I saw just enough to break me down. I saw just enough to humble me off of my own self-righteousness. I saw just enough of the glory of God, full of grace and truth, to say, he'll forgive me if I ask him. He already did the hard work. He already died for my sins. That's grace, and I want mercy. I need truth. Why? I am the way, the truth, and the life. He says, mercy and truth came by Jesus Christ there in verse 17. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. We know who we're dealing with here when it comes to the word. Come back down to verse number 4 with me. In him, speaking of Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The word comprehended there means did not admit it or did not receive it. So in other words, Jesus was amongst his people. He was amongst the Jews and they did not receive him. They did not let him in. And may I say there are people still today and 2017, October 1st, that are still not receiving him, that are still not letting him in. They're religious people. They're semi-righteous people in their own minds. There are people in different religions and they think they have it going on, but they will not receive him. My friend, the only way for you and I to be saved is to let Jesus illuminate the darkness that's in us. The only way for you and I to walk the way God would want us to walk is to let Jesus Christ illuminate us step by step. He said they comprehended it not. Notice he begins to talk about John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the, you should have a capital L-I-G-H-T in your Bible. Of the light. Who is that? Jesus. That all men through him might believe. He was not that capital L-I-G-H-T light Jesus, but was sent to bear witness of that light, capital L-I-G-H-T. Did I spell it right? L-I-G-H-T. Amen. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. You say, preacher, does that mean that everybody is saved? No. Lighteth means to enlighten, to illuminate, to make them see. That was the true light that comes so that everyone can see it. By the way, when you are confronted with the gospel, you'll either accept it or reject it. There is nothing else. When it says he is the true light that lighteth, it means that he is going to reveal himself. He's going to enlighten you to his death, his burial, his resurrection. He is going to be the light of the world, and everybody's going to either believe him or not. Amen. Many Jews don't believe him. Many Gentiles don't believe him. May I bring it home? Many churchgoers still don't believe him. You have your religion. You go to church. You read your Bible. You pray. You give. You try to be kind. You try to do the best you can. Say, preacher, how do I know that? Because that's what I did. That's what I did. I had to get illuminated. I had to get able to see. My darkness was so dark that I began to think that my darkness was light. that my way was right. Folks, you know you're in trouble when you think that your darkness is light. Jesus said, you better watch out that the darkness in you, you don't mistake it for light. Because how great is that darkness then? When you think you're right. And by the way, there are a lot of Jews think they're right. A lot of Islamic people think they're right. There are a lot of churchgoers that think they're right. And my friend, there's only one right, and that's the light of Jesus Christ. And so you and I better be careful. He said, it lighteth every man. People want to take that out of context and say, well, it said it lighteth every man, so I'm automatically saved. No, you're not. You're automatically a sinner, but you're not automatically saved. What does he say? That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus enlightens or allows men to see in their darkness. Notice chapter 12. Go over to chapter 12 with me. John chapter 12. And by the way, most of the verses that we're going to be looking at are predominantly in the Gospel of John. Why? He talks about light 16 times. John chapter 12, and notice verse number 46 in John's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 46. Talking about Jesus Christ is the light for the darkness of this life. Verse 46. Is that the right one? John 12, 46. Oh, I'm in chapter 11. That's why I didn't read right. Amen. 12, 46. I am come a light into the world. Notice this, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. So Jesus said, even though when I confront you, you're in darkness, you shouldn't stay that way. He said, woman at the well, I'm confronting you. I'm confronting you, Pharisees, and I'm confronting you. I'm the light of the world, but you don't have to abide in it. You don't have to remain in it. You don't have to continue in it. I will confront you and illuminate you. And when I confront you and illuminate, you've got two choices. Go back to your darkness or walk in the light. Mm-hmm. Amen. The Pharisees chose to go back into their darkness. The woman obviously followed Jesus to some capacity, we would assume. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 says it this way. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declaring to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Psalm 112 and verse 4 says, unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. So Jesus is light for the darkness of this light. But also I want you to see that Jesus is light for the deeds of this life as well. Go back to John chapter number 3 with me. John chapter 3, most of us know this area. It's the area with Nicodemus. This area with John 3:16. It's the area that says you must be born again. And may I reiterate, you must be born again. Folks, well, why do we have to talk about such foreign terms? It's a biblical term that's very relevant. Amen.
Amen.
Because Jesus said, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Amen. So I think it's very relevant to what we're talking about. And folks, I don't understand that. It's probably because you're in darkness. Now, I could be wrong. You may not be in darkness. Maybe you just don't understand the terms, but you must be born again. And you should not balk at it when Jesus said it. If anything, you should go back and investigate it to see if it's true.
Amen.
But to balk at it and say, well, you're speaking tongues to me. You're speaking in terms I don't understand. You're doing this. And people get mad and irate with you when you say you must be born again. Or say, have you been born again? Well, what do you mean by that?
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Have you been born again?
He does.
Have you been born a second time? Because the first time you were born a sinner from your parents.
Yes, sir.
The second time you've got to be born from above. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again.
Yeah.
And folks get mad. Well, that's just what you guys believe. I think that's what Jesus believes. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, Jesus said that. Now, if Jesus can say it, I think we can repeat that. Wouldn't y'all agree?
Yes, sir.
So if somebody gets mad at you, tell them to take it up with Jesus. Amen. So here in John 3:3 and 3:7, he said, marvel not, or don't be surprised that I said unto thee, ye, speaking of everybody, must be born again. And he gets all the way down to John 3:16 to explain it. But I want you to hover on verse number 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be what? Saved. He that believeth on him, speaking of Jesus, is not what? Condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. So I'm going to spell it out. They're condemned because they haven't believed on the Son of Jesus, the Son of God, which is Jesus Christ. But this is why the condemnation. That light is come into the world. Illumination has come into the world. The ability to see has come in. The light that brings salvation is come into the world. And men love what? Darkness. Rather than light, the illumination, because their deeds were evil. Reprove means to be discovered. When do most crimes happen? In the dark. When do most muggings happen? In the dark. Why? You can't get a clear description of them. When do most things happen? At night, because you can't get a clear description of who it was or what they did or what they were wearing. So many crimes occur in darkness. Now, we've gotten so bold and so brash in our sin where a lot of them occur right in broad daylight and people don't care. Why? They are not ashamed of their sin. They are in their own darkness and they think it's light and they are justified in what they do. And we live in a time where the darkness really doesn't matter. I think I told you all this story. When I was growing up, my dad was in charge of a lot of apartment complexes. And we would go into these apartment complexes. People would vacate and abandon. They'd leave all kind of food and things there. And they weren't the cleanest people. And we would go in and we would flick on the lights. And the roaches would be all over the place. And as soon as you flicked the light on, the roaches would scatter. They'd go away. But then we'd go in other places. And we would turn the lights on. And the roaches would kind of look at you like,
what?
Thanks for that light. I appreciate that. I can see now. And they were not ashamed of the light at all. And that's the way we're at in America now. There used to be a time when certain sins that were shameful for them. Lesbian, gay, and bisexual thing. It was a time when you were ashamed to have that. Homosexuality, lesbianism, having babies out of wedlock. There was a time when it was a shame for that. Now folks are in broad daylight like those roaches out there. Oh, thanks, I can see a whole lot better now with that light. I appreciate that. Don't cut it off on your way out. And that's where we're at today. Why? The darkness that's in so many has become their light. And it's very dark. But Jesus said, you know what? This is the condemnation. Light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They become comfortable in their sin. And so when light comes around, they run. But there's so many that were confronted with Jesus and he made no impact on them whatsoever. The Pharisees made no impact. They sought to the end of Jesus' life to get him at all costs. Made no impact on them. What am I saying? Jesus is light for the deeds of this life. John chapter 3 verse 21. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You know, there are those that don't mind coming to the light because they know they're doing what's right. You know, one of the worst people you want to see when you're breaking the law is the police.
Yes, sir.
I mean, when you're speeding, boy, that foot goes off that accelerator.
Yeah.
I've been on occasion, Faithy Pooh sitting in the back, Daddy, watch your speed. I'm like, ooh. You know what I look for first? Not the speedometer. I look to see if there's a cop around. And what's worse, if you see a cop with the lights on and you're speeding, and then they pass you up, you think, you go to speed limit from there on out till you get to your destination. You think, I've been spared, Lord, thank you, mercy. There was great. Grace was free. But folks in their darkness, they don't care. Jesus is light for the darkness of this life, but Jesus is light for the deeds of this life as well. You and I got saved because the light of the world came and shone in our hearts, Jesus Christ. His Holy Spirit pricked you, and his Holy Spirit showed you and told you that you were saved, were a sinner. And you were convicted about what you were and where you were going. I don't know about you, when I got a clear picture, and by the way, only the Holy Spirit can do that. When I got a clear picture of the price for my sin and where I was headed, I was convicted. When I understood that I could not pay, I couldn't be good enough, I couldn't join a church, I couldn't pay some money, I couldn't do this or do that, I couldn't do anything. All I could do was come before God and say, God, I'm in darkness, and his light exposed me, and I don't know about you how you felt, but I felt naked. Naked and ashamed. Why? My darkness was finally exposed. The illumination of Almighty God finally came in. The light of the world finally shone and said, son, if you don't receive me, you're guilty. You're going to a place called hell. I've done the hard part, son. I've died on the cross. I was crucified. I was buried. I rose again, son. The hard part is done. Look at your life, son. I'm exposing you. What are you going to do? And I had to fall in humility before God. And in my shame, nakedness, in my sin, say, Lord, I'm a sinner. You know, it's so hard for us to recognize that we're sinners sometimes. Oh, we say it flippantly. I'm a sinner. But what does that really mean? That means that you and I have missed the mark. And that Almighty God has every right to place us in a place called hell. He has every right. And we use the term so flippantly. Well, yeah, I'm a sinner. Yeah, but I'm saved by grace. But think about what that means, is to be a sinner. That means you had to be illuminated with the light of life. And you had to see him hanging where you should have hung. You should see you being buried like he was buried. And you should see yourself paying for eternity. And I don't know about you, when I saw that, that was not what I wanted to see. Say, preacher, what you do? What any smart person does when they're in darkness and they're illuminated by the righteousness of God and the light of God, repent. Repent. I said, Lord, I don't know anything about the Christian life. I don't know how to live it. I don't know what it entails. I don't know what's going to befall me. I said, Lord, you know, I drink. Lord, I smoke. Lord, I curse. I do all these things. I don't know how to stop these things. Lord, the best way I know how, I'm coming to you and asking you to forgive me for these things. I'm willing to turn to you, and I want you to save me. I didn't understand a whole lot, but I understood where I didn't want to go. And I understood I had been illuminated. At that point, say, preacher, what if you didn't get saved at that point? I'm not worried about that because I did. Amen. But I know this, that moment can pass. That moment can pass. I know of several folks that I've dealt with, the moment passed. And to this day, I don't know if they got saved. When you're illuminated by the Spirit of God, when you're illuminated by the light of God and the darkness is revealed and the deeds in your life are revealed, you have two choices: to get right with God or to turn back to your own darkness and your own deeds. I didn't want the deeds, and I didn't want the darkness, so I had to go into the light. And when I went into the light, oh, I became born again.
Amen.
I trusted Christ as my Savior, February 3rd, 1991. Why? The light came in. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. I was in the world. And Jesus said, I'm come that you won't abide in darkness anymore. If you follow me. And I'm so glad I did.
Amen.
What about you today? Perhaps maybe you're not able to stand because you're still in darkness. Maybe you can't stand because your deeds are not the deeds of God. And Jesus is extending his love to you still. Grace and truth. His arms are still open wide. I was at Missouri, and Brother Serge and Katie were there, and young lad was there, and I asked him, had he been saved? And he said, yes, I've been saved, and told me where. And I said, what'd you do to get saved? He said, well, I went forward, and some people prayed for me that I could be saved. I said, did you pray for yourself? He said, well, no, I didn't pray for myself. I said, what makes you think you're saved? He said, because they prayed for me. I said, no one can pray for you to get you saved. I said, the Bible says, with the mouth, confession is made of salvation. With a heart, man believes in righteousness. I said, you've got to pray for yourself. You've got to recognize you're a sinner. And you've got to recognize your deeds and the darkness that you're in. You've got to recognize. I said, those folks, praise God for them. But they can't save you. And I gave him a scenario from the Word of God. And I said, the Bible says, he that hath a son hath life. He that hath not a son of God hath not life. And I said, you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell, son. I said, if you die right now, where are you going? He said, well, I thought I was going to heaven. I said, based upon somebody praying for you? Last time I checked, Simon in the Bible asked somebody to pray for him. That didn't help. I said, you got to pray for yourself. He said, well, I guess if I die right now, I'm probably going to go to hell. I said, probably? He said, no, I'm going to go to hell. I said, is that where you want to go, son? Now, he's got rings in his lips. But sir, and I had two rings in his lips, like two fish hooks in his lips. And red, green, blue hair, something like that, and just all over the place. 16 years old. And that boy bowed his head. Now, I don't know his heart. But he bowed his head and he said, you know, I don't know how to pray. I said, well, son, I said, I can give you some words. I said, but my prayers don't save you. I said, the Bible says, with the heart, man believeth in the righteousness. And with the mouth, confession has been said. I said, you've got to believe this. And he bowed and I led him in prayer and he repeated after me. And I asked him, if you die right now, where are you going? He had a different look in his eye. He said, I'm going to heaven. I said, how do you know? He said, I prayed for myself this time. I said, hallelujah. Went and told Brother Keith he should be getting baptized today. Praise God. Now, I don't know his heart. I don't know if he's really saved.
That's right.
But I do know this. The Word of God illuminated the darkness.
Yes, he did.
The Word of God illuminated the deeds. Why? Jesus is the light for the darkness and the light for the deeds. I do pray that if you have not walked in the light of Jesus Christ and been convicted and been born again, that you would get saved today. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. If you're a Christian, walk in the light as he is in the light. In his love, he will reprove your deeds and he'll reprove your darkness when it comes in. And we have a choice to make. Am I going to continue to walk in darkness and bad deeds, or am I going to let God direct my way? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and looking around. Just for a few moments, Father, thank you for your love. Lord, thank you that February 3rd, 1991, you arrested my soul. And you showed me my deeds. You showed me my darkness. And you showed me how much you loved me. And you saved me. Lord, you saved my wife. And both of us that day were gloriously born again. And Lord, many others have testimonies similar to that. And Lord, we endeavor to walk in the light as you're in the light. But Lord, there may be some here today that are still in darkness. Lord, let them know that you love them. Let them know that darkness and light cannot coexist. When there's light, there is not darkness. And when there is darkness, there is not light. Help them know that the light of Jesus Christ wants to drive away the darkness and wants to drive away the deeds that are ungodly. Lord, prick the heart of that man, woman, boy, or girl that's never been born again. And if they're here today, and if they died, and they're not sure that heaven is their home, reassure them that they just need to be born again, repenting of their sins, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, repentance towards God, and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Help them today. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around. Perhaps you're here today and you'd say, preacher, if I died today, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but I'm concerned about it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray for you today. If that's you today, preacher, if I die right now, I'm not sure that heaven is my home. My darkness has been revealed and my deeds have been revealed, and I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anyone like that? All across this auditorium, just stick your hand up once and you can put it right back down. I want to pray for you today. Man, woman, boy, or girl. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I'm not sure I've been born again. Preacher, pray for me. Next question then. Christian, how's your light? Is your light shining that others can see? Is your light illuminating others that are in darkness? Is your light illuminating the deeds of others that they can sense that what they're doing is not right? The Bible is clear. Let your light so shine. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He said, you know what? If you follow me, you're not walking in darkness, but you shall have the light of life, just like he said to the Pharisees. How about it today? Christian, maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and pray today. Lord, help me to walk more in the light, out of the darkness, out of the deeds that aren't pleasing to you. Father, bless now this invitation that we might do what you would have us to do when it comes to walking in the light, when it comes to shining the light, when it comes to our deeds and our darkness. God, help us to make sure that we allow you to be our light and not our own manufactured light that is darkness in disguise. Save that man, that woman, that boy or girl. Work in us and through us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just for a moment. As Miss Natasha plays the hymn of invitation, maybe God spoke in your heart. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no looking around. Maybe God spoke in your heart. Would you move? Preacher, I've not been able to stand for Jesus because I don't have that power to see. I need to be saved. Why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. Or perhaps you are saved. Are you walking in the light? For He is the light. Jesus said, I'll give you the light for life. Jesus is light for the darkness of this life. He's light for the deeds of this life. God spoke in your heart, would you move? Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved today. Maybe you need to come down and pray for yourself. Maybe for a loved one. Maybe for a relative. Maybe for a friend or a co-worker. You know they're in the darkness. You know their deeds are not godly deeds. And you want to pray for them. I assure you someone prayed for you to be saved. I know someone prayed for me to be saved. Maybe you've got a wayward child. Maybe a neighbor, someone that you know. Would you pray for them? Would you ask God to save them? Would you ask God to get them out of the darkness and into the light? Would you ask God to free them of the deeds? This adulterous woman was in darkness until she was confronted with the Lord Jesus Christ. Her deeds were evil. But Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He came to rescue her. He came to deliver her. How about it? Where are you at today? This woman's life would never be the same. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus extended grace when she was guilty. He gave her mercy when she could have been condemned. He gave her liberty instead of judging by the law. Oh, he didn't condone what she did. But neither did he condemn her. He said, go and sin no more. Knowing that he would full well pay for the penalty on the cross. If she would only trust him, follow him. How about you today? We need spiritual light to see in this spiritual life. Just as much as we need physical light to see in this physical life. We have the power to see. In this life, we have a perpetual state of this life. God has given to us everything so that we can stand for Jesus and stand in Jesus. I am the light. Does your light dispel darkness? Does it dispel the deeds of others? It should. It should. That's how we got saved. That's how we continue to serve and stand for God. Oh, never give in to the deeds of darkness. Never give in to the flesh. Never give in to Satan. Never let your testimony be where people don't believe that you have the light. Walk in the light as He is in the light. Our Father, we're so thankful that, Lord, like the adulterous woman, we were guilty. We came before You guilty, stained with sin and darkness. Our deeds were shameful. Lord, some more than others, but sin is sin at the cross. There's no big sin and no little sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And thank You, Lord, for the redeemed that have seen the light and did not run from the light. And we're understanding of their condemnation, that light has come into the world. But they did not go with the deeds that were evil. They went to the light to be reproved of them and to be cleansed of them and to be freed from them because, Lord Jesus, You died for them. And thank You that we have that eternal, perpetual, that everlasting life as a result. And not only just perpetual life, but power to see in this life. Thank You, Lord. We sometimes will walk in darkness, and sometimes we'll have deeds that are uncomely. And so thank You for Your Spirit, which convicts us and brings us right back into the light. Lord, continue to keep us close to Your precious bleeding side and enable us, Lord, to free others that are still in darkness and their deeds are evil. Work in us and through us. Bring us back tonight. We uncover more about what pride does and pray that it might be an encouragement to us to do what You have called us to do. In Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Hall's got our closing.